The epistle appointed for this, the third Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires, which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans, that whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you, by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent through him, for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as freemen, yet not using your freedom as a cloak or malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and moderate, but also to the severe. This is indeed a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which according to St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, a little while and you shall see me no longer, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, what is this he says to us? A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, and I go to the Father. They kept saying, therefore, what is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he is saying. But Jesus knew that they wished to ask him, and he said to them, you inquire about this among yourselves, because I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me. Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth the child, she no longer remembers the anguish or her joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal pleasure, which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Peter here is admonishing us to show good example. How well we conduct ourselves out in the world by our dress, our behavior, and such like. How else are we going to convert others who no doubt probably say that we are evildoers, are ideologists, or whatever? But by our good works, they may watch. As it says here in Scripture, by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. We do not know who is watching us, who sees us, who may be correcting themselves just by our conduct, the way we are dressed or behave. They might wonder, this couple over here, right before they ordered their meal in the restaurant, that they prayed grace. That's interesting. Or another one sees us drop a holy card or a rosary or something on the ground, and we pick it up and kiss it and wonder, why do they do that? It's just a card. Must be some significance for doing that. It already puts in motion of something that they're not observing. Makes them question themselves. Why are they doing this? We have a great example of this. We have to go back to year 400 and so, when Saint Benedict was around. Saint Benedict did not preach, as far as we know, any sermons. We know he wrote a holy rule. We know he was in charge of a few monasteries. One he left, because they tried, of course, as the story goes, they tried to poison him. But his preaching to the people at that time was his good example. The people watched what these monks were doing, and they imitated it. This is how you plant your fields. This is how you do this. And during this time, what happened in the early days, the monks in the fields used to kneel down and say their office by memory, which indicated to those barbarians that, hey, there's something greater than just the natural life. But through this method, slowly but surely, century after century after century, the same thing over and over again, this one man was capable of conquering all Europe. The astounding fact that in Germany alone, it is said to have at one time over 10,000 religious communities. That is a lot over time. The world has strayed away from this. But that doesn't mean that it excuses us. If we want to walk towards God, then we have to do exactly this good example. All the time. Not just on Sundays or holy days of obligations or when I'm out with other people that I have to dress nicely, but we have to dress nicely all the time. Remember, St. Peter said that this is a pilgrimage. We're reminded again that our purpose here is to know, love, serve God. That's the only goal. If there's any other goal, you're on the wrong track. If we want to be happy with God for all eternity, know, love, and serve God. That means we have to put up with every single thing that He gives us or puts in our way. Because after all, what is He telling His disciples here in the Gospel? In a little while you shall see Me not, because I'm going ahead of you with My plan of salvation. And what am I using for this plan of salvation? Suffering. I'm willing to suffer all this for the love of You. And can You not, for the love of Me, accept what little gift I give You to carry for Me, for love? That's the whole thing's about. Every little item that comes to us in our lifetimes comes from a loving hand of God. Some of us, ordinarily, most of us, get the ordinary graces. We walk through life, not too many things really happen. Others get special graces. Special by means that I know this is going to end your life. I know this. I still want you to carry this for the love of Me. Make good use of it. Use it to purify your soul. Use it to offer up to the good Lord for past faults and failings. But for heaven's sakes, don't complain about it. Because if we complain about that cross, it's going to do the opposite effect. It won't save us. It will just attribute itself to our punishment because of our impatience. Yes, the good Lord does give us these things because of necessity. I did it for you. And I expect you, if you love me, to do it for me. Accept it all, no matter what. Hardships, yes. But remember the goal that's behind this. Don't look at the hardship today. Oh, I'm still got to suffer this, and I know it's hard. And oh, sometimes we feel it's unbearable. But forget that for the moment. Think of what comes afterwards. As our Lord said, a joy that no man will take from you. Just suffer for so small a time and receive such a great reward afterwards. When we get these graces, we should actually be joyful. Think of ourselves like Dismas on the cross when he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, and with a blink of an eye, this very day thou shalt be with me in paradise. We can't fathom what his joy was like. There's no way. For so small a service. That's why we insist so much on offering up our daily duties, because that's the will of God, what I have to do every day. And yes, I have to work sometimes with people that are irksome or hard to get along with. But for the love of God, with the graces of patience and charity, I do it. I make it work. Because did not our Lord have to deal with people that were irksome? Look at how the Pharisees treated him. In fact, look at how his own people treated him. So he's already gone ahead of us and done all this. All we can do in our part is offer our little inconveniences up for the love of him. We want to go to heaven. This is the way we have to do it. Our Lord's not going to judge us on how well we look, how much money I have, how much goodness I've done to one person or to another. I'm going to judge you on your conduct. Did you do all these things for the love of me, or did you do all these things for the love of self? That's what sits in the balance. So how do I get rid of self? By reminding myself that everything I do from this day forward is for the love of God. And every time I see myself in the picture, I immediately take action and say, not to me, O Lord, not to me, but all the glory to thee. Nothing for myself. Now every day, when we go to work, do our jobs, come home, try to make it a practice. It would be good if you did it many times during the day, but especially at nighttime, make it a practice to make a sincere act of contrition. Most important. Not because we fear hell or the punishment of God, that's attrition. We don't want that. We want to be absolutely, we want to go right to the core of the matter. What I did, I have what? I have offended the love of God, which I am sincerely sorry for doing so. And so I know what I need to do, and at the end, I need to do the very thing that is required of me, and that is what? Amend my life. Change. I got to do better next time around. But the reason for that is because, who knows? I don't want to die an unprovided death. I want to have some preparation. Power of prayer is the greatest preparation I can think of. When you think about it, before I even go to confession, I'm already thinking about it. In my home, I need to do this today. It has to happen right now, today. Confessions are before Mass. I get in my car. I'm going to church to go to confession. What happens if something happens to me on the way to that church and I don't make it to confession? Does that mean I'm lost? Far from it. God's not a tyrant. He reads the hearts very well. And we are sincerely sorry for what we have done. Long before you hit the confessional, it's forgiven. All we're doing is ratifying what you already told God in your heart. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. So every day, let's do our best. If we're the only ones left in this whole planet to show the good example, so be it. Let's do it cheerfully. Offer up our daily duties, persevere in our prayers, most important. Petition the good Lord for the graces that you stand most in need of, especially when we're having hard times, the trials, our temptations. Be careful over things that you watch. The devil's just having a heyday these days and times. He really wants us to throw in the towel, and we cannot let that happen. We cannot get discouraged ever. The good Lord's mercy and forgiveness is too great for that to take place. There's many, many examples of that in Scripture, where some probably could have fell in despair but didn't. Like Mary Magdalene, or the woman caught in adultery, and others. And how did our Lord handle that? Very gently. Very lovingly, very forgiving. That's how you handle all of us. Remember the prodigal son. We are all prodigal sons and daughters. We've all gone astray. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd still be out in left field. But as Scripture says, we come to our senses and I'm going back to my Father's house. And I'm going to kneel down and tell him, I'm sorry, I did this, that, and the other. I'm no better than to be your son. Just treat me as a servant. I don't even deserve to be called your son. And our Lord emphasizes the Father's reaction. Not really paying attention to what he's saying, but kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. We must celebrate. Because your brother was dead. He is now alive. If that's not a proof of God's love for us, I don't know what is. So every day, thank the good Lord. Thank him for all the graces that you received. Thank him for everything. Remember there too of his reward for gratitude. When that one Samaritan came back and thanked him for healing of his leprosy. But all these things happen, why? And this is the most important thing of all. Faith. If they didn't exercise faith, our Lord would not react. Let's pray always for a strong conviction of our faith, that no one will lead us astray, that we'll every day, strive to do our Father's will, our daily duties, our prayers, petition and thank the good Lord. Good example. May God bless you, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.